seen, you know, tornadoes, and we've seen winds of strong forces. We've seen, you know, all kinds of things that are going on. And sometimes to me, it's like the Lord's just trying to get everybody's attention, and I just don't know if they're paying attention or not. Amen? But I trust that they are because, well, Jesus is still coming soon. Amen? All right, we've been looking in the book of the Acts, and that's where we'll go tonight, if you will. And while you're doing that, I'm going to turn on our equipment here, try to get a little bit of the information up on board here for you. And we'll just give this a minute to heat up. While it's doing that, and the lights are coming on, let's look, if you will, at chapter number 14. We got through chapter number 13. But don't you look with me, if you will, at chapter number 14. And let's begin reading at verse number 1. Now, if you remember last week, Paul and Barnabas got through their preaching and got through with their mission that they had there in a place that's called Antioch of Pisidia. And now they have moved. And look what it says in verse number 14. It says, and it came to pass, or excuse me, chapter 14, verse number 1. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great number, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And it says, long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were ware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the regions that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for loving us today. Thank you for all of your blessings and all the things that you've done for us. I pray now, Lord, that you just add your blessings to everything that's said and everything that's done
here tonight. I pray you get honor and glory and praise out of it, and I pray you just be a blessing to us this evening as we study your word. And I pray now, Lord, just help us to understand more and more and have a little bit more depth of the things of the word of God as we hear them. And we'll praise you and we'll thank you now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, again, as you look at this, we've got our fellows that are on the road again, if you will. And the trip from Antioch in Pisidia, that trip, as you make that trip down to the area that they have come next, Iconium, is about 80 miles. Now, you know, you get to thinking about this with what these guys are doing and how this is all unfolding. They got to be getting tired somewhere along the line. I mean, as we said, they had the first thing that they had was, you know, a trip from the mainland where they left in Antioch of Syria. They left and they went to the island of Cyprus. They've hiked from one end of Cyprus to the other, and then they get on a ship and they go into the area there that takes them on up to this area of Antioch. I mean, they've gone, and the trip from where they land on the shore there from their boat trip from Cyprus, as they get there in that area where they go up to Antioch, that's 100 miles. And now they have walked. Now, I mean, they're not riding anything, they're not driving anything. They have walked another 80 miles to go from Antioch to this area called Iconium. I mean, man, I'm telling you, if they had their Fitbits, they got their steps in, didn't they? Amen? I'm talking about every day. And we don't know exactly the length of time that it took them. Now, I'm going to give you the outline here, and you can see that, and we can kind of work through that. But just gives you an outline of these few verses as we look at them and we understand what is going on here. I hope we can get a good look in it. And we'll just call this idea the mission to Iconium. The mission to Iconium. And that's where they're going. They're going to this place that is, it's not as big as Antioch was, but I will report this to you. The historians say that the road that led from Antioch to Iconium was a Roman superhighway. Well, it's not a superhighway like you and I have today, but the traveling was on an official Roman-built road that was nicer and better than some of the others, and it certainly wasn't just a little beaten path like they had been on to get through the mountain passes as they left Pamphylia at Perga and went on toward Antioch Pisidia. I mean, you had something anyway, right? They had a road that led you, and if you got your little map there, you can see again that this is just simply the map gives you the passage from Antioch to Iconium, and they're still in that area of the Galatia area, close to Lycanoa, and they're just moving on a now it's an eastward route as they leave Antioch. They're moving on an eastward route. So here they go, and it said it came to pass as they got here to Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony in the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. First of all, let's look at that just for a minute, and let's talk about the working of the preachers. Let's see how these preachers and what they're doing, how their work is going. I'm glad the Bible tells us, first of all, that they were working together. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? It said, and it came to pass, they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. I mean, there was no dissension. Now, they'd already had a little problem, and you know the story. John Mark had left them, and there was probably a little bit of talk and consideration about all of that, not so much now as there will be later, but they're working together. And brother, let me tell you something. You get out on the road preaching, you get into some strange areas, you go to places like they are now where they don't know anybody, you better have somebody that's willing to work with you. And the Bible tells us here is Paul and here is Barnabas, and they're working together. I mean, they got their mind set on delivering the gospel. I mean, maybe, you know, they could be a little bit of talk amongst them, and I was reading somebody that was saying, you know, could you imagine the discussion that these two men had maybe as they went down that road, and maybe they said, Barnabas said, well, Paul, we just got in a mess back there, and it's all because of those Jewish people that didn't want to believe. Why don't we just forget them? But could you imagine old Paul saying, wait a minute, Barnabas? He said, I want to tell you, buddy, we're going to take it to the Jew first because they are God's people and they need to be saved. And so what does the Bible tell us here? Well, it says they went together into the synagogue of the Jews. They're working together and they've gone into the synagogue. Now, I think I can pull this up for you. I hope I can real quick. But I've got a picture that'll get us a picture of, it ain't the right picture, is it? Let's see if I can get it. The picture of a synagogue. Here is the traditional, regular synagogue of the Jews. And you can see how that these things are built, and it's built rather much like a house. I mean, and if you'll notice here, they always had an entrance that face toward Jerusalem. The front of that place is looking toward God's city. If you remember, every time you see somebody in the Bible and it mentions any directional praying, if you remember especially Daniel faced toward the east. When he was in captivity, he is looking to the place where God was reigning and God's name was established. He was looking toward Jerusalem. And so that's traditional in the building of a Jewish synagogue. And then you'll notice on the interior of it, there's an area here that looks much like this. It's a pulpit area. And then you see the area here they call a courtyard. This area here is where the scrolls and the Bible to them, the Torah, all those things are rolled up and kept there. And, you know, there's an area here where the speakers might be, and there's an area upstairs where the women and the children would be. So that's just a little picture, just something for you to see to let you know that that is a traditional Jewish synagogue. That's the way that they look. And, you know, just on our way of thinking, maybe it's a smallish church or whatever, but it took 10 Jewish families, generally they would say 10 Jewish men, to establish a synagogue. So here's the establishment of that, and these guys are going into this place because they knew it was a place where they could preach. I mean, they realized, man, if we can get in here, we can get a good start. And as I told you before when we looked at it, you know there was a lot of Gentiles that were what we would say proselytes to the Jewish religion, and they came back to hear the Word of God. If you remember here previously in Antioch, they came back and they wanted to hear more after they heard Paul discuss Jesus being the Messiah. They wanted to hear more. A lot of them got saved. Well, Paul says, let's go with the same format that we had before. So that's what they're doing. You see, they go together, and they go together to the Jewish synagogue. They said they went in, it said, and they spake, and so spake, and a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. There were a lot of folks that got saved. I want you to notice, boy, the Bible talks about a turn of the multitudes. There's a turning multitude. There's some folks that turn from just Jewish religion, and they turn to eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad to hear that? But I'm telling you, that's the same kind of pattern that God has set for us to have in this day and hour. We're supposed to go take the gospel, preach it to folks, whether they're religious or whether they're lost or whoever they are, and give them the Word of God and see that they find Jesus Christ as their sufficient Savior. Amen? And that's exactly what these guys have done. So it says they have spoken, they've preached, and they've given the gospel, and it said there was a multitude of the Jews and of the Greeks also that believed. But I want you to notice what it says there in verse number 2. You got some troublemakers. You got some trouble. You're always going to have troublemakers. It said, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. You see that? You got some troublemakers. You know what they were doing? It said they were causing people to be evilly affected in their mind. In other words, they were stirring up all the trouble. They were downgrading. They were talking against. They were denying everything that Paul and Barnabas was preaching. And brother, they wanted that stuff out of there. They wanted to get rid of it. And I'm telling you, in doing that, hey, they were just absolute troublemakers. Do you see what it says? It says, verse number 4, multitude of the city was divided. Part held with the Jews, part with the apostles. I mean, they had caused enough of a ruckus that they caused a division of the people in believing the Word of God. And, it says there in verse number 3, it says, long time therefore abode they, and that's Paul and Barnabas, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. I mean, they were there. We don't know how long, but we know that they were there for a while. They were there, and they were preaching the Word of God, and folks were being saved. And that's exactly the work of the preachers. That's the working that they wanted to do. That's what they set out to do. They wanted to see folks saved. They wanted to see churches established. They wanted to see the gospel go forward. They wanted to see those things. And thus far, as you're looking at this, you're seeing that those things are coming true. So notice that, if you will. The Jewish troublemakers are the Jewish unbelievers, and they don't want anything to do with the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, really. They want to still keep on playing with their religion. Again, I told you, this thing goes into some of those areas of prejudice, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, they're taking away some of our members. They're getting our guy. Listen, bless their hearts is all I can say. They need to get with the program and understand that God has sent Jesus to be the Messiah. And that's what Paul's trying to get them to recognize. So you see there just the working of the preacher. But second of all, let's look at the way of people. the way of people. Can I tell you, this picture you see here in this description is the way that people have been and are today, and it looks like they'll always be like that. I mean, it just looks, first of all, you notice it says that the people took sides. Somebody took a side. You notice that? But the multitude of the city, in verse 4, was divided. And part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. I mean, there's always going to be a division of people because of the gospel. And do you know what? Jesus said that's the way that it was going to be. You know, sometimes we think, oh, well, everybody, us preachers especially think that. Boy, if they can hear me preach, they'll get saved. Well, can I tell you, I'm like anybody else. I'm like every other preacher. Brother, some of them will have it and some of them won't. And we're living in a day-to-day where it's more of the wants than the wills, amen, that want to hear the Word of God. But I'm telling you, it will cause a division. Jesus told him, he said, I didn't come to bring peace, folks. He said, I came to get a division going on. He said, because fathers will go against their sons and mothers against their daughters and, you know, this one against that one. That's the way it's going to be with the kingdom of God. There's going to be a division because of the gospel and because of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a division. I'm telling you, as I say, always has and always will be like that. But I want you to notice this. The preachers kept on preaching and working among the people. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, even when adversity comes, you know what Paul said? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach. No, Barnabas said, well, maybe we ought to leave. He said, no, let's just stay and preach. I want you to notice, they came in and preached. They got in the middle of trouble and they preached. And before they left, they preached one more time. I mean, they came in preaching, they stayed on preaching, and they left. In other words, they said, this is the most important job that we have, and buddy, we better get with it, amen. I mean, it's preaching. It takes preaching. And I'm glad God called old-time preachers, aren't you? I mean, I'm glad God's got some men with a back like a saw log that's versed in the Scripture, been on their knees and prayed, got some power from heaven, and not afraid to stand in the face of adversity. That's what the Bible said. It said a long time there in verse number 3. Long time. I mean, it was a long time that therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. Well, Paul, y'all got some problems, looks like. He said, I don't care, I'm going to preach. I don't care. I'm going to preach. I mean, the preacher just kept on preaching. Well, Paul, they don't like you. I don't care. I'm going to preach. You remember what Jeremiah said? Jeremiah said, Lord, their faces are hardened and hard against me. And God said, I'll make yours harder. Look at them. If they stare back, and your stare is going to scare them more than their stare scares you. I mean, that's what he's saying. Brother, I just want to tell you, we need to just make our minds up. We're going to make a stand, and we're going to stand for the Word of God and the things of God. I'm telling you, the world doesn't like the Christian, the real Christian community. They don't have anything for us today. You know what? They hate. They'll try to hate you, but thank God, aren't you glad Jesus said, just love them anyway. Just love them. If they hate you, love them. He said, in so doing, when you do that, you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. I mean, these preachers kept on working. They just kept on digging in there. They just kept on preaching. And look what it says. Not only were they preaching, it said they gave testimony unto the word of his grace. But God also did this. He granted that signs and wonders were done by their hands. He says to be done by their hands. Wonders and signs. God said, okay, these folks have kind of toughened up against me. They've got a bunch that's against me. He said, but let me just show. And God allowed, and we're not given anything here because apparently we don't need to know, but there were some miraculous things that happened. There were some signs. There were some wonders. There were some mysterious things done by the hand of Paul. I'm sure a lot of that had to do with healing, and I'm sure a lot of it had to do with the moving the devil out of some folks' life. I believe that's what a lot of that was. But you know what? Hey, it still didn't convince all of them, did it? There's still a bunch of Jews that just still wasn't gonna follow. All that did is made them madder. And I'll tell you this, you get to doing something for God. I don't care who it is. You get doing something for God, you'll make the devil mad. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to come back with something to press against you. And you know what you need to do? Just tighten up. I mean, just get more dug in and ready. And I'm telling you, the preachers kept on preaching and they were working there among the people. But notice this, last of all, in this little section, the proliferation of the instigators. Those that were all instigating all of these things. Look what it says there in verse number 5. It says, and when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. Just hang on to that little phrase right there. I mean, you notice they were planning some things against Paul and Barnabas. I mean, they said, look, we're going to make this thing tougher on them. Let's get meaner. Let's get worse. Let's get dug in here more. Let's do what we're going to do against them, and let's really tear them up. We'll run them guys off. They're a bunch of chickens and scaredy cats, and they can't handle the heat, is exactly what they're thinking. Do you see those words that are used there? The Bible says here that the Jews and their rulers, they wanted to use them despitefully and to stone them. Now, in that little term, use them despitefully, it means this. It means to exercise some kind of violence against them, to abuse them, and to insult them. That's all they wanted to do, was antagonize, verbally. You know what that made Paul want to do? Preach. It made him want to preach more. He said, yeah, insult me and see what happened. Hallelujah, Jesus is still king. I may be ugly, I may be short, I may be this, and I may be... He said, but Jesus will still save an old sinner. It don't matter what you say about me. It doesn't matter how you insult. It doesn't matter. And as a matter of fact, it says that they were... it said they were getting ready to stone them. I believe that was the plan, was to stone them. It doesn't say that they did it, and it doesn't say that they didn't do it. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, if they hadn't done it, they were planning on doing it. They're gonna kill them if they could. But do you notice what God did? Verse number 6, they were aware of it. They became aware of the whole situation that was going on. You know, unbelievers that go on unchecked turn out to be very ugly. I mean, they turn and become very ugly. You know, a long time ago I heard a preacher say this. He said, when you go out and start trying to tell somebody about Jesus and you tell them what church you go to, he said, you ought to get ready to duck or pucker up. He said, because either they're going to love you and hug on you and give you an embrace, or they're going to start swinging a fist because they're going to try to knock you out. You better get ready to duck or pucker up, amen? I'm telling you, they're either going to love you or they're going to hate you, is what he said. And isn't that the truth? I mean, you hear some people, and I've heard them on the TV, oh, they're part of that old bunch. And I'll tell you, they talk about me and you like that. And sometimes they'll ask you, do y'all go to one of them churches where they believe in that stuff in the Bible about the blood? Yes, we do. You really believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose? Yeah, we believe that. Amen. Do y'all still sing them songs like nothing but the blood? Yes, we do. Amen. I'm just telling you, people don't want to hear some of that stuff anymore, and they're against it, but can tell you the Bible's still for it. Amen. God's still in favor of it. Paul was still preaching it back then. We ought to be preaching it today. Amen? All right, and then we'll look at one last thing real quickly here, if you will. Let's look at the wisdom of an in peace. The wisdom of an in peace. Look what the Bible says. It said, they were aware of it in verse number 6, and they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. Now, when you look at it, you see, first of all, that these preachers, these men, they were aware of the violence that was being formed against them. They became aware. How did they know that, preacher? I'm telling you, I believe God can let you know. Now, he may tell you through somebody. He may tell you through the Spirit of God. He may tell you, you know, a lot of ways. He may tell you this. But can I let you know, brother, that, hey, God has a way of whispering. The Bible talks about how that the things that are said in the king's chambers are carried by the little bird shall tell them. I'm telling you, there's somebody that can get the word out. And it's always like that. You know, you hear today anything you look at on the radio or the television or hear the news, and they say, there was a leak. Yeah, wow, big deal. There's some big mouth. Somebody got some money. Somebody got some kind of payoff or something, and they got the word out about whatever it was that's going on. Well, somehow, somebody here, God let them either hear or the Holy Ghost whispered in Paul's ear and said, here's what's going on. And it could have been either one. And it really doesn't matter which one it is. Brother, I'm just glad, hey, that God takes care of his. Amen? Do you know there were many occasions when Paul would get ready to do whatever, get ready to preach, get ready to stay, get ready to go here or there, and the Holy Ghost would say, nope, not today. This is where I want you to go, and this is what I want you to do. Aren't you glad? They still men and women, boys and girls, that can be led by the Spirit of God. They can still hear from the Spirit of God. Can I tell you, we can still do that in 2023. God and His Holy Spirit can still talk to me and you. He said they were aware of it, or aware of it, as we would say. They were aware of it. They were aware of it. And notice, not only do you see their awareness of the violence, but you see the action that they took in wisdom. Now, you know, a lot of folks said, oh, well, they must have been chickens because they run. Well, let me see if I can throw you out there. And you're by yourself, and you don't have necessarily a big crowd behind you. And it's you and maybe one other guy, and they wanting to come and kill you. Let's see what you wind up doing. And I'll tell you this. I firmly believe this, that Paul and Barnabas did not act cowardly, but they acted prudently. They did what was wise. They took the action of wisdom. You know what they always say is live to fight another day. And I believe that's right. If you remember here in the time before when Antioch was there, the Bible said that when they didn't want to hear what they had to say, what did they do? They shook the dust off their sandals, off their feet, and said, okay, if that's the way y'all want it, that's the way it's going to be. Hey, here they might have had, somebody said it wasn't shaking the dust off. They might have kicked up a cloud of dust as they ran out of the city. But brother, they were still doing the same thing. Okay? They were still doing the same thing. They weren't being cowardly. I mean, they were born again, but they wasn't born yesterday. They knew there was trouble afoot, and they knew that they needed to move along down the road, right? They needed to get out of the way. And it said, there they, when they were aware, they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Now, they have left this area. They've left this area. I want you to know, the advancement that they made was an advancement of the Word of God. They didn't get to preach there, right there at this time again. They're going to come back later, okay? Don't ever fear that. You'll see Paul and Barnabas want to come back to this area again, and I believe they do. But, they think through wisdom and in the action of wisdom and peace, they could have stayed there and stirred up a ruckus. And God could have protected them. But I think wisdom in this case says, let's move along. We can always come back again. Amen? You ever seen that with somebody? That things got stirred up? And I've been in some situations where somebody gets fired up against you. And the best thing you can do is back off for a while. Pray about it. Let God work on it. And then go back and see. I'm just saying there's some wisdom and there's some peace in backing off of the situation sometimes. So it says here they left. They fled to Lystra and Derbe, which were two other cities. And these cities are on further to the east as Paul is moving now in an eastward way. They move on. If you've got your little map there, you can see that they're moving on to the east to Lystra, and then Derbe is further east than that before they kind of wind this thing up and head back to the area that they started out in Perga. But you're going to see that they're moving along. But I want you to notice more than anything, look at that very last verse that we read. And there they preached the gospel. Now things might have changed. I mean, things might have changed. But they didn't quit preaching. Paul and Barnabas didn't go and say, boy, we better quit preaching. They're after us. They're really giving us a hard time. I guess we better stop doing. No, they didn't stop doing what they was doing. They just had to change location. That's exactly what this boiled down to. They just simply moved from where they started, and they moved to another location, and they just went further. And you know what? When they went where they went, brother, I'm telling you, there they preached the gospel. There they preached the gospel. The next little section that we're going to look at, they will tell you about some things that happened in Lystra while they're there. We'll look at that here the next time around. But I just want you to get that little introduction. Hey, there was a mission to Iconium. I'm telling you, every little where that they went, God was doing something in their lives. God was working on them. God was working with them. God was working through them. And thank God, aren't you glad this? Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You may be in the middle of some of the biggest messes that can come up like this, where the preacher gets in trouble and the people turn against him, and there's all kinds of fights and issues and questions and doubts and what have you. But thank God, aren't you glad? The Lord said, I'm there with you right in the middle of it. And Paul, you know, we'll get on over in chapter number 20, and he talks about how that he says, you know, I'll keep on going because I know that the Lord's with me. The Lord's taking care of me, and he's going to see me through till I hit the finish line that he's got for me. Amen? God's got a finish line. He's got a finish line for every one of us tonight if we'll just hit it and hit it in the right time. Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song, if you would.